I'm really not going to preach what I planned to preach tonight, but this, God changed everything after I got here. And that's the truth. So you pray for me. In 2 Kings chapter 19, you'll find out that in this particular chapter that they are rejoicing over the fact that they have won the victory. And they're rejoicing over the fact that Absalom has been in rebellion to the king. And when they realize that David gets the news that Absalom has died, even though that he had hated the king, even though that he had tried to rebel against the king and overthrow the kingdom, still, when they see the king weeping, the Bible tells us that all of their rejoicing is turned into mourning. Now, this is an unusual passage of Scripture because David is some 50 miles, if I have calculated right. He's on the other side of Jordan, just 50 miles away. And now Absalom is gone, and you would think that immediately their thoughts would be turned to the fact that they should want the king to be back on his throne once again. But that's not what happens. In fact, in verse 9, when we get there, the Bible says, "And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, 'The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies, and he delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines. And now he's fled out of the land for Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle.'" Now they're understanding they've made a wrong choice. They put the wrong king on the throne. They had the wrong king in the wrong place. They put something and somebody in place of the king. And they said, "Now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back?" And King David sent to Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, saying, "Speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all Israel is come to the king, even to his house?" Why isn't anyone talking about the king coming back? Why isn't anyone mentioning a word about the king is coming back? He's not way off. He's just on the other side of Jordan. But he's coming back. If the church has any major problem today, it's not what you think it is. Every problem that we have in this world could be solved if people really believed that the king was coming back. We'd live better lives. We'd be better people. We'd do more for God. No one would have to prod us. No one would have to push us if we just realized with a reality the king is coming back. You know, the Bible prophesies and says that in the last days scoffers will arise saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" And we're in that day where people are saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" But may I reassure you tonight, when Jesus died and rose from the grave, and after he spent those days upon this earth, when he ascended back, he gave a promise, and the angels spoke it to those that were there that day. "You men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing in the heavens? This same Jesus you see taken from you is coming back in like manner." I've got news for you tonight. The king is coming back. The king is on his way. Are you distraught about the condition of the world? Yes. But I'm not worried about a thing because the king is coming back. Are you disturbed with the sin that rules and reigns? Yes. But it doesn't overwhelm me because the king is coming back. When the king gets back, everything will be made right. All of the wrongs will be made right once again when the king gets back. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's not way off. He's just on the other side of Jordan. But he's coming back, and it could be today. May I remind you that while he was on this earth, he was the rejected king. When he was born, there was no room for him in the inn. At his death, Pilate put a sign above his head, "King of the Jews." In fact, you'll read there's only three different groups that referred to him as king while he was here. The first individual was Pilate that had the sign in three languages, King of the Jews. And they came to him and said, take that sign down. But he said, what is written is written. In other words, I'm not taking it down. I'm giving you what you accused him of. You said he claimed to be King of the Jews, so that's the title. And by the way, he not only claimed to be King of the Jews, he is the King of the Jews. The other place you read about it in the Word of God is when the wise men came. And they came seeking him and said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? The final place is on the last week and the last few days of Jesus' life on this earth. The last week of his life began by them cutting down the palm branches and strewing them in the way and crying out, Hosanna, blessed is the King that is come in the name of Jesus, in the name of God our Father. You know what they were saying? Jesus is the King. But the same crowd that said, hail him, that week, the next week we're saying, nail him to a cross. We live in a time today that we think it doesn't matter how we respond to Jesus, but if you reject the King, you've made a terrible mistake. He's not only the rejected King, but he's the rightful King. I guess probably one thing that sparked this to me so strongly, I've been praying about preaching this message, and I really planned and thought I would preach it next week, but today when we were in the service, the pastor stood up and he said, I've got to tell you all something. Talked about his son. His son, they were blessed to get tickets to go watch Cleveland play. And he said, when we went to watch Cleveland play, so there was a guy that came in and said he had on a bright outfit and had on a hat. That the hat was as big around as a 55-gallon drum. And all over his jacket, he had things like this written. The King is coming. The King is coming. Of course, those of you that follow sports know well he's talking about the title that they've given to LeBron James. I'm not saying it's LeBron James' fault. I'm just saying that to a lot of people, they think he's the King. They call him King James. And everything that they did over and over again, they would say, the King is coming. The King is coming. I'm here to tell you, LeBron James is not the King I'm looking for. And that's not the one that's going to rule and reign with an iron rod. But I do want to tell you, the rightful King is coming. And he is King of kings and Lord of lords. We used to sing songs about it. We used to testify about it. We used to talk about it. Do you know why people don't sense an urgency to reach their lost loved ones? They don't believe the King is coming. Do you know why people don't run to churches and give their life to the Lord? They don't sense that the King is coming. But whether you believe it or not, you can trust me on this. Jesus said he's coming again. He is the rightful King. He's rightful King by creation. The Bible says the earth and the fullness thereof is the Lord's. He made it all. He controls it all. Nobody's going to destroy it until he finally says time shall be no more and gives the command, because he's in control of it and he controls it all. He made it. He'll destroy it. Not only by creation, but by redemption. For this cause came he into the world, the Bible says, that he should not only die and be raised and revived, to be the King and Lord of both the living and the dead. He is the rightful King. In Revelation, we know that John wept much because there was no man found worthy in Revelation 5. And finally, as John was weeping, and no man was found worthy to loosen the seals thereof, the Word of God reminds us that the Lord spoke up and said, wait a minute, there's a King in heaven. And I have the right to do that, and I'm in control of that. There is still a King that is on the throne. You may not allow Him to be the throne, on the throne of your heart and life, but He's still on the throne and in control. And He's coming soon. He's the rejected King. He's the rightful King. He's the righteous King. Most of the kings you read about in the Bible, when they got absolute power, they were corrupt. They were mean. Even the good ones wound up when they got power. They couldn't control the power. They couldn't harness the power. And it turned into corruption. But you'll not find anything wrong with the King of kings and the Lord of lords. His accuser said, I find no fault in him. Thank God I find no fault in him. I find no fault in his book. I know there's people that spend a lifetime trying to argue the Word of God, trying to find areas where the Word of God's wrong, trying to find areas where the Lord didn't mean what he said and he didn't say what he meant. But I'm here to tell you, I've never found a fault in it. There may be things I don't understand now, but it's perfect and it's pure. And we know as we follow his Word that the teaching of his Word will show us all things and teach us all things. The Holy Spirit that inspired the Word of God is the same Holy Spirit that lives in our heart as a believer that will enlighten us and take the passages from the Word of God and teach us the things that we don't understand. I not only find no fault in his book, I find no fault in his blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. His blood is perfect, sinless blood. The blood of the one that was conceived by the power and overshadowed by the power of the Holy Ghost. A virgin that had known no man brought forth the blessed Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. And that blood has the power to take away every sin in our life and change us forever. I find no fault in his blood. I find no fault in his blessings. There's some things in life you prayed for, and once you got it, you were sorry you got it. But I'll guarantee you, you've never been sorry. If you've given your life to the Lord, you'll look at your life and you'll say, I may regret a lot of things, but I don't regret one minute that I've lived for Jesus. Every blessing he's given me has been right on time, just when I needed it the most. He always sends along the blessing at the perfect time. We're there and we're crying out and we're wondering, Lord, how long will I have to wait? But the Lord sends the blessings just when we need it the most. Now, you may not feel blessed, but I'm feeling blessed tonight. There's a few of you that you felt blessed. Everybody don't have to run around when you feel blessed, but every now and then you have to take a holy walk and say, God sure has been good to me. I can't hardly stand still sometimes when I think about the goodness of the Lord and all he has done for me. I have to say, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. Some of these people had a fit a minute ago and they were running around. We get accused a lot by people outside these walls that we have lost our mind because we run everywhere. People all the time say, I'm afraid to go there. You're going to be in a mess when you get to heaven. But I watched as people were getting blessed tonight. And I couldn't help but look. And Josh was blessed. And I'm telling you, a fellow that big takeoff, I sure am glad he's on our side. But I want to tell you what blessed me. Josh, it wasn't the fact. I mean, I'm thrilled that you got blessed. But so help me, I looked down at your son, and somebody was holding, maybe Carol, one of the others were holding him there, and I couldn't get my eyes off your boy. He watched you. He watched you so intently. When you went to the back, he never took his eyes off of you, Josh. He watched where you were going. You know, I thought to myself, that boy will never be able to say, well, I don't remember my dad ever being blessed. I'm here to tell you, our kids are watching us. They not only see the wrong that we do, but thank God they see something else. They see when we're blessed and when we thank God for what he has done. Has your kids ever seen you bow on your knees, lift your hands toward heaven and say, bless the Lord, oh my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. I've never found anything wrong with one blessing that God's ever given me. Blessed. I noticed a fella down at Belfry. I listened to some of the service today. I don't know if Brian mentioned him or not, but Ted got to go down one night with me, and Bob went a couple of nights, and they may have noticed this guy. I mentioned him on Thursday night. He was sitting off to the left. His name is Pedro. And I talked to Pedro the first service that I walked in. Before we ever started worship, I walked up to Pedro, shook his hand, and I said, hey, buddy, there's something different about you. And he just grinned. I said, I want to talk to you after service. He said, okay. So after service, we met for just a few minutes. I said, where are you from, Pedro? He said, from Mexico. To the age of 3, And at the age of 3, I was moved to Houston, Texas. And I said, "What's your story, Pedro? You just seem so blessed all the time." And he said, "Well, I am blessed, preacher." He said, "At the age of 3, I went to Houston." And he said, "By the time I was just a kid," he said, "I was so hooked on drugs that I lived every day of my life for drugs." He said, "I lost everything." And he said, "I spent the next 40 years living under bridges, crying out to God and then wondering, do you even exist or not? Wondering why I'd been where I'd been." He said, "But one day," he said, "I met this lady from Williamson, West Virginia. And she said, 'You know, I've got the answer to your problem.'" And he said, "I'd been a drug addict then for almost my entire life." And said, he said, "You don't understand. I've tried everything." And don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not opposed to rehab and all of the education. All of that is great. I'm just telling you about Pedro. He couldn't function in life. God's brought him all the way from Mexico to Houston, Texas, all across the nation, and he winds up at Williamson, West Virginia. You know how he got there? That lady told him, said, "I tell you the answer to your problem. His name is Jesus." And Pedro said, "Well, I've been crying out to God." She said, "Yeah, but have you done it the right way?" He said, "What's the right way?" And she took him to the plan of salvation, told him how to pray in Jesus' name. And he said, "You know, there was something that happened, preacher, when I asked the Lord to save me," and tears streaming down his face, even today. He said, "When I asked the Lord to save me," he said, "I felt like shackles came off of me." He said, "I started telling everybody, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free." He said, I just couldn't imagine how free that I was, free from the sin and free from the drugs. And he said, immediately people started coming along to quote unquote encourage me. And one of them said, "You're going to be the sickest you've ever been in your life." And then somebody else come and said, "I've never seen an addict make it over 3 years to 5 years without turning back once again to their substance abuse." He said, "I got a lot of good encouragement like that." But that dear lady kept saying, "This one called Jesus that sets you free can keep you free and bless you every day. And you get up and you bless his name for taking your sin away and setting you in." He said, "Why, preacher?" He said, "I believed it so much that I married her." He said, "People deny it, but I'm here to tell you, I never even got a stomachache." He said, "I don't know why God chose me to do it the way that he did it." He said that I've never had a stomachache. I've never looked at drugs one time. He said, "You're looking at a blessed Mexican." Well, thank God. I am here to tell you, I've never found a fault in the blessings that the King gives us. Everything the King gives us is good. Everything the King gives us is perfect. Everything the King gives us is right on time. And that same King is coming back again. He is the returning King. Folks, it's just about over. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with them forever. What's that crowd that rises first? What's the group that's coming back with him? I'm here to tell you, I've had to say goodbye to a little while to a lot of friends and a lot of family. But the family's coming back. You better clean the house. Get everything ready, because the family is coming home. And the Lord's going to call. It could be tonight. It could be this moment. I know a lot of folks say, "Well, I could die." I realize that. But the good news is, we may not go through that channel. It may be through the rapture of the church. A fellow told me one time, said, "The word rapture is not in the Bible." I said, "The word Bible is not in the Bible, but you carry one anyway. The word rapture simply means caught up." I don't know what you're going to do, but one of these days, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. When the trumpet sounds, friends. You stay behind if you want to, but I'm getting out of here. He's coming again. He gave that promise, and he said, I need to watch and to pray, for in the hour you think not, the Son of Man cometh. That same king that just went over Jordan is coming back soon. And the thing that we need to do is say, every one of us that has that hope within us purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That makes us live right. That makes us love right. That makes us look right. Jesus is coming again. The look isn't always on the outward appearance. Some of you, you're too busy looking around. Husband and his wife went to church one Sunday and they were headed home, and in the car, she gave this testimony. Said, he's driving down the road. And he said, hey, did you see Mr. Jones' new car? She said, no. I didn't pay any attention. Said, my mind was on the Lord. A little while, I looked over and said, hey, did you see Mr. Johnson's new suit? She said, no, I wasn't paying any attention. And he said, well, surely, surely you saw Miss Catherine's new hairdo. She said, no, I wasn't paying any attention. He said, well, what do you go to church for? I didn't come to church tonight to see what kind of car you drove up in. I didn't come to church tonight to see if you have on a new suit or a new dress. I didn't come to church tonight to see what you've accomplished in life. I've come to worship the King. I'm practicing up for the day that He comes again. Because this could be the day and this could be the hour. And when He comes, you better be ready to meet Him. And I don't know why, but we have lost that urgency in this world of people that no longer are looking for Him to come. But I say, the season has passed now where any moment, any day, any hour, Jesus could come again. We ought to say, Lord, let us do the best we can, live the best we can, love You more than we've ever loved You. Because if You call us tonight, we want to be ready to go. Are you ready? Or some of you, you're just looking for the King up in Cleveland to come back. Wrong King. One King. And His name is Jesus. Your heads are bowed. They're coming with a song. Tonight you're here in this service. You don't know the Lord as your Savior. Some of you, you have turned your back on God. You're not where you should be with God, and you know that. If the Lord was to come right now, you wouldn't want to meet Him the way you're living in this moment of time. Have you noticed how the music has changed and how the message has changed in the past 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? 30 and 40 years ago, almost every song that people wanted to hear, a lot of the songs anyway, songs like "The King is Coming." This church, many of you that are newcomers, you may not be aware of it, but this church back in the 70s put on a play, went to churches all over the area, went for weeks and weeks and weeks. And just an unbelievable amount of people were saved. And that play dealt with the coming of the Lord, Jesus Christ, and someone being unprepared for His coming. But today you seldom hear sermons preached about it. Not very many songs even sung about it. I guess people feel like this world's going to go on forever. And they feel like He's not coming. But I say to you, in light of what has happened, what's going on in the Middle East, the struggles and strifes between the nations, the wars and rumors of wars, the conflicts, the famine, the earthquakes, all of the things that's happening. Why speak we not a word about the king coming back? Why doesn't anyone say, let's bring back the king?